science of the Christian life concerning love. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to get your minds all greased up, oiled up now. I want you to listen very carefully and follow me very carefully as I teach you on the subject of love. He that loveth, this is 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Notice it doesn't say God has love. It says God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Here it is again. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful book and for the truth we're about to explore. I pray you'd help us to teach you to write and listen carefully and abide thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to study this amazing subject of love. I cannot comprehend or fathom all of it, but I want to be able to teach our people what love is really all about. Help me as I teach tonight. Amen. I want you to get as excited tonight about me teaching on love as if I was preaching against President Clinton. I constantly marvel at how God's people do not get excited about how God loves them. I have never in my life enjoyed preaching on the love of God as much as I do now. When I was a young preacher, I used to dread preaching on love. I loved to preach on wrath. The older I get, the more I love to preach on love, and the more I don't like to preach on wrath, though I do preach on wrath because it's in the Bible. But I want to talk to you tonight, and you have to follow me very carefully. So I want you, all you high school and college students and all you deacons, I want you to get an intelligent look on your face now. You're not doing what I said. I want you to get an intelligent look on your face now, because I want you to follow me very, very, very carefully. We read a while ago, God is love. It does not say that God loves, though he does, but it says God is love. It does not say just that God has love, though he does have love. It says God is love. It does not say that God, and by the way, there are two words, and I'm not going to go into any deep Greek study because I couldn't understand it and you couldn't either. But all of us know that there are several words in the Greek language that mean love. The two main words are the words phileo, which spell it P-H-I-L-E-O, and agape, which spell it A-G-A-P-E. Now, phileo, you've heard of the city of brotherly love. That's Philadelphia. Philadelphia. That's where the snobs. Philadelphia. Philadelphia. That's the city of brotherly love. The word phileo meaning that kind of a love. Now, the word phileo means, the best way I can put it is it means like. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" he used the word agape, which is a deep, abiding, godly love. Real love is the word agape. And Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I phileo you." That word phileo means I like you. I'm fond of you. A shallow kind of a love, and I'll discuss it very much at length in a few minutes. Jesus said, "But now hold it, Peter." He said, "Do you agape me?" Now, in the English, it's the word love. But in the Greek, he says, "Do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I'm fond of you. You know I phileo you." Now, I'm going to have to get you to get these two words down, because the entire study tonight deals with agape love and phileo love. Now, I'm going to take the phileo love, when I mention them, I'm going to take it mention it first every time, at least nearly every time. So, phileo, we'll call it like, L-I-K-E, like, I like you, all right? That's phileo. Agape, I'll say that's love in the truest sense of the word. We'll simply say love, all right? Now, you tell me, what is the word for like? Anybody home? What is the word for like? Phileo. What is the word for love? Agape. What is agape? And what is phileo? Like. All right. Now, you folks who know Greek, you know that I'm not exactly on the mark here, but near enough for our study for tonight. Now then, I want to give you 9 different statements tonight, and some of these statements are 2 sentences. One is, phileo turns you on. That really is what phileo is. Phileo is that which appeals to your senses and turns you on. It is like if something looks good, I like that. If something tastes good, I like that. If something smells good, I like that. If something feels good, I like that. If something sounds good, I like that. For example, I just love that song. Now, that's phileo. Well, you don't mean you deeply love that song like God so loved the world. The word there, of course, is agape. It means that I like it. I love cheese quarter pounders. Thank you. I'm glad to get you with me. Now, that doesn't mean that you agape cheese quarter pounders. Now, Brother Keith, agape is cheese quarter pounders. But most of us just phileo cheese quarter pounders. But we call it love. She's so sweet. I just love her. Now, that's phileo. That means I like her. Now, follow me carefully. Phileo turns me on and turns you on. Whereas agape, you turn on. You see? God never commands you to phileo anybody because you could not keep that command. But as I've said so often, every command that God gives, He gives you the wherewithal to, by your will, obey that command. If God says, and I've said this time and time again, if God says rejoice, then that means you can choose to rejoice. You can decide to rejoice. You can will to rejoice. Now, if God, by the way, God never says be happy, because happiness is caused by the external stimulus or stimuli, whereas joy is caused by the internal condition. When God says be content, that means you can decide to be content. Now, God says we ought to love one another. That's the word agape. That means I can decide to agape. All right, so the first thing is, phileo turns you on. A cheese quarter pounder turns me on. A chocolate milkshake turns me on. Frozen yogurt turns me on. Lettuce without any kind of sauce does not turn me on. One little boy in our church, 4 or 5 years old, was sitting at the table the other day. The mother wrote me a letter. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, he said, I'm like Brother House. And the mother said, how are you like Brother House? He said, I don't like lettuce either. I'm being a horrible influence. But I like lettuce if it's baptized in Roquefort or blue cheese dressing. But I'm saying, though, that a phileo, now don't leave me, phileo turns you on. Agape, you must turn on. And that's why God doesn't say phileo anybody, because you can't decide to phileo anybody. Phileo, if you phileo somebody, it's because that they appeal to you in a certain way that you like them. But agape is, you can decide to agape somebody because God says we're supposed to love one another. All right. Well, which of the two love? Okay. What is the word for lack in the Greek? Talk to me. What is the word for lack? Phileo. What's the word for love? Agape. Agape means what? Phileo means what? Lack. All right. Now then, concerning as far as turning on or off is concerned, what does phileo do? It does what? It turns me on. All right, say that. It turns me on. It It makes me, listen to me now, I like that flower. And let's don't be frivolous now. I'm trying to teach you the Bible, and I don't want you to get off on some kind of dirty thought thinking. I know what you're saying. I know why you're grinning, but that's not something to grin at in a service like this. I'm talking about, and I've got to use that term, turns me on, because I turn on agape, but I cannot turn on phileo. It turns me on. All right? So phileo is that which appeals to me that causes a response. Agape is not caused by something appealing to me. Agape is caused by me obeying the command of God. And so phileo turns one on. How's that? Phileo turns one on, and one turns agape on. Let's say that. Phileo what? Turns one on. Say it again. Phileo what? Turns one on, and agape we turn on. All right? Now the next statement. Phileo is not commanded in the Bible because you can't turn it on. God does not command you to do something over which you have no control. I'm going to use this in a sermon in probably next Sunday morning. But I was sitting beside a crab on the airplane today. If the waitress had said, "Would you like crab for lunch?" I'd have said, "I have one already, thank you." I sat beside a crab on the airplane today. And Roy Moffat took the trip with me this week. No, I sat beside a crab. Now, I could not have liked, I could not have filleted him. No way. There was nothing about him that could have turned anything about me on. He was unkind. He was ugly to look at. He was rude. He was unfriendly. So God commands me to agape him. Why? Because I can turn agape on like a faucet, but I can't turn phileo. The only way I can phileo him is if he does something to me that causes me to respond favorably. You see, if he had a charming personality, I could have said, "I like the guy, I phileo him." If he had been real, real friendly, I could have said, "I like the guy, I phileo him." So, phileo is not commanded because you cannot turn it on. Agape is commanded because you own the switch. You own the switch, and you can turn on agape. You say for the hound, "I just can't love my husband," or "I just can't love my wife." Now that means you may not be able to phileo your wife, but you can agape your wife. You may not be able to phileo your husband, but you can agape your husband. There are a lot of people that I agape that I can't phileo, because it's up to them to create phileo in me. It's up to me to create agape in me. Consequently, phileo is not commanded because you cannot turn it on. Agape is commanded because you own the switch and you can turn it on. All right, number three. There is then no reservoir of phileo. There is a reservoir of agape. Inside of me, are you listening now? Inside of me, there is no storage or no phileo stored up. None at all. But inside of me is my God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I do have a reservoir of agape stored up inside of me. Since I do, listen to me now, I'm trying to teach you something while you're looking around and acting disinterested, and you're going to answer to God for it one of these days. You answer to me for it too one of these days. Now listen to me. This old world is sickening tonight because we don't know what love is. Now God's people ought to know what love is. I'm saying the kind of love that the world knows is nothing but phileo. You make me feel good. I like your looks. I'm sorry to say it, but some of you college students and high school students, your girlfriend, you don't love her, you phileo her. I mean, if her teeth stuck out that way, you wouldn't love her. I mean, it so happens that her eyes are set exactly where you think they ought to be set, and they look forward instead of each other, and they're the right color. And her face is smooth, and her hair is beautiful, but that's not love. You say love at first sight. That's phileo at first sight. It's not agape at first sight, because agape is not caused by sight. Consequently, I say in the first place, Phileo turns one on. One turns agape on. Phileo is not commanded because you can't turn it on. Agape is commanded because you own the switch and you can turn it on. That means there is no reservoir in here of phileo. If I hear a song I like that song. That's phileo comes through me. Agape is in me because Christ is in me and God is love. And there is a reservoir of agape in me. Number four, that means you have a supply of agape and you can dispense it when you choose. I just don't love her anymore. Then do it. I just have lost my love for her. Then get it back. First place, listen carefully. If it's real love, you haven't lost it for her. You just haven't turned it on. Are you listening to me? You may have lost your agape because she wears a size 35 dress and she used to wear a size 5. And you may have lost your agape. You may not enjoy hugging her like you used to, and it may take longer to do it. But I'm saying, now that's phileo. Agape loves her when she wears a size 35 dress as much as she wears a size 5 dress. So, John, you can love her. Now, I'm saying, listen to me now. Listen. Every week, I talk to some couple in this church. This is a giant church, and there are always people having marital problems and of some kind. And it's always saying, I've lost my love for you. Brother, if you loved him with God's love, you cannot lose your love. You may not turn it on, but if it's God's love, if it's agape, there's a reservoir, and you have the switch, and you can decide to turn it on, or God would not have commanded you to turn it on. I said, you have a supply, and you dispense it. Number five, now get this carefully. Now you may take care what and who turn on your phileo. You may take care, but you can't turn it on. You may decide who turns it on, but you can't turn it on. I mean, you can't make yourself like somebody else. If they don't smell good, you can't help it. You can't change your smeller. If it doesn't taste good, you can't help it. You can't change your taste buds. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That means that if you think somebody is ugly, they're just ugly. And you can't change your eyes to think somebody who's ugly is pretty. I mean, Jojo, you're stuck. There's just no way. Boy, I'd hate to have to kiss that good night right there. I'll tell you for sure. But wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You may decide and take care and decide who is with you so they may cause you to phileo. For example, you say you fellows say to a guy, let's go fishing together. You know why you choose him? Because you like to be with him. And so you will enjoy that trip and even love in the sense of phileo that trip. But you're sending, you want to go fishing with somebody that you'll enjoy. You want to play golf with somebody that you'll enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying you cannot turn on phileo, but you can turn on agape. Now listen carefully again. You are required, therefore, commanded, therefore, where to dispense agape. I'm not going to use this microphone, so don't turn it on. I'm just going to let it be a switch here. This microphone is going to be a switch. This is off right here. Right here. Now, this microphone represents the switch of agape. If I turn that microphone, that's on right there, that means agape is turned on. God says I'm supposed to agape certain people, and God commands me where to dispense agape, and to whom to dispense agape. That means that let me go back and review. Phileo turns one on. Agape one turns on. Phileo is not commanded because you cannot decide to phileo, but agape is commanded because you can decide. Consequently, God commands you to agape because you can decide. He does not command you to phileo. Is anybody following me? He cannot command, does not command you to phileo because you can't decide to phileo. I mean, if you see a pretty, I was out in California, And the trees are so pretty out there. They have something out there that perhaps you've forgotten about. It's called spring. They have something on trees out there. It looks very strange. It's called leaves. And it's very strange. Now, I went out to, and I got off the airplane, went down Highway 101, I think it is, to Santa Clara, and went to my hotel. And I want you to know I enjoyed that trip. I filleted that. I kept asking Brother Traver, what kind of tree is that? What kind of tree is that? I asked Brother McKenzie, Dave McKenzie, my host, what kind of tree is that? What kind of tree is that? Boy, it's a pretty tree there. Now, I didn't decide to put those trees there. Those trees were there, and they inspired me to phileo. So I phileo because of what you are. I agape because of what I am. You can't walk down this aisle and promise God you're going to phileo because you may see somebody that's ugly when you get up off your knees. You can't promise God to phileo. Phileo is caused by external inspiration. Agape is caused by internal condition, and God says you're supposed to agape. He commands you to agape. That means there's the switch. You decide when to turn it on, and God tells you under what conditions you're supposed to turn it on. Now, the question is, how do you turn on agape? With your thoughts. With your thoughts. Your will determines what you think about. That means that you can keep me from lacking you. Let me see if I can find somebody I don't like. It's easy. You can keep me from the guy on the plane today. I didn't like him. I just didn't like him at all. I didn't have one bit of filet over that bird. That gentleman, and all that bird. I didn't have one bit of filet. The most despicable acting man I've ever seen on an airplane in all these 8 million miles of flying on airplanes. He was discourteous to the stewardess. He was discourteous to the steward. He was discourteous to me. I didn't like him at all, but I loved him. You say, how could you love somebody like that? Because I am commanded to love somebody like that. And so I was courteous to him. I was kind to him. I was good to him. I felt like he must have some kind of a burden. I did not phileo him, and God was not displeased. Because God does not command me to phileo him, but God commands me to agape him, and I can decide because God says I am supposed to do so, which means with my will I can decide to think, and thinking of love is putting love into action. Now that means you can keep me from liking you, but you can't keep me from loving you. Now, I want to give you five people the Bible says we're supposed to love. Number one, we're supposed to love God. Now follow me carefully. Some of you, yea, it may be most of us in this room tonight, do not agape God. Now I'll prove it to you. If things work out well for you, you say, boy, God sure has been good to me. That's phileo. That's phileo. Well, praise God, I'm in good health. And brother, let me tell you something. If Marty and Evans loves God tonight, that's agape. I can love God tonight because I'm well, I'm healthy, I have a nice house, I have a good car, I have nice clothes, I have food to eat. As far as I know, I'm in good health. And boy, I tell you, I just love God. That is phileo. But if I say I love him with all of my heart, it doesn't matter if I have no food to eat, no decent clothes to wear, no nice place to live, no nice car to drive. I love him because God is good, and I turn it on. That's agape. Well, I'm just bitter at God. That's because you never loved him. Agape can't get bitter at God. Phileo can get bitter at God. And the average person in this room tonight phileos God. 18 times in the Bible. It tells me to agape God. You phileo God for what he does for you. You agape God. Brother Howes, he died for me, so I love him. That's phileo. Brother Howes, he keeps me in the hollow of his hand, so I love him. That's phileo. I love him because I'm commanded to love him. When God commands us to love him, he gives no reason for it. He says, love the Lord thy God. Agape the Lord thy God. With all thy heart, thy mind, thy body, thy soul. You say, then why am I supposed to love God? Because God commands you to love him. Now that means when things aren't going well as you think things are going well, you're still supposed to agape God, because you don't love Him because of what He does. The true love for God is not responsive love. It's decided love. That means 8 times in the Bible, I'm commanded to love my neighbor. My neighbor sat beside me on the airplane today. Who is my neighbor? Luke chapter 10 tells me that. Anybody that has need. This man beside the road, who was of a hated race, this man beside the road that was been robbed and been beaten and was half dead. And here comes somebody by from another race, was a hated race, and sees him. He goes to him, he pours in oil, and heals his wounds, and then sets him on his beast and takes him to an inn and says, "Take care of him. I'll come again. I'll repay you when I get back. If I owe you anything else, I'll repay you when I get back." He did not know him. He was his neighbor. And the Bible says, the Bible says, I am to agape my neighbor. Let me put it on down your level. Those people that sit up there Sunday morning in that section are street people. Not those up there right now. Well, yeah, I think they are. But Sunday morning up in that section will be street people. There will not be one single thing about those people that sat there Sunday morning that's phileoable. But you're commanded to love them. You say love that stinking bunch? No. God didn't say agape them. God didn't say like their odor. God didn't say like their looks. God said with the love of God, you're supposed to love them. And that's not conditional. You're commanded to love your neighbor, your obnoxious neighbor, your fallen neighbor, your hateful neighbor, your poor neighbor, your drunken neighbor. You're commanded to love your neighbor. You say, how can I love him? The reason you ask that question, you haven't got the foggiest thing with the idea of what love is. Real Bible love has nothing to do with you responding to anything. A reservoir of the true love of God is in my soul, and God commands me to turn it on. And that's what it's all about. That's why a woman can love her husband, though he might beat her. That's why we can love men that stumble in the rescue mission. Vegetables, if you please. Drunken sots. We're supposed to love them. Now you listen to me. These high church formal ritualistic snobs that meet in so-called churches all across the country and sing their sevenfold amens and have their high church ritual on Sunday morning and don't welcome the down and the out, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, don't know what love is. All they know is phileo. That's all they know. They know nothing about love. They only love that which looks good, smells good, sounds good, tastes good. That's all they know. I've said this often, but I'll never forget it. Dr. Rice and I were driving in the car. Mrs. Rice was in the back seat. Dr. Rice there. I was up in the front seat with the pastor. Mrs. Rice didn't know I heard her. But I did. She said, "John R., you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lois, I love you." And she said, "John R., why do you love me?" He said, "Because God commanded me to." She said, "John R., that doesn't turn me on." He said, "Yes, but it'll never turn me off. I love you because I'm commanded to." What does that mean? That means that the foundation of every human relationship should be agape. And on that agape, build the structure of phileo. But when the structure of phileo crumbles, praise God, the foundation of agape is still there. Nothing wrong with you, a phileo and your wife. Nothing wrong with you liking her because she smells good, she's pretty, because she cooks you good meals, keeps the house clean, keeps her weight down. I'm not being critical of anybody's weights up right now, but I'm simply saying, nothing wrong with you. But if that's the foundation for it, it'll crumble. Listen to me carefully. When you stand right here and get married, young people, if all you want is that pretty girl, it will not last. But if down beneath that phileo, I like to see her, I like to touch her, I want to kiss her, I want to hug her, I want to look at her, I want to enjoy her. If down beneath that superstructure phileo, there's a solid foundation of agape, when you don't like her, you'll still love her. God says you're supposed to love your neighbor. Now, God, I cannot will or decide to like my neighbor. I could not decide to like that guy on my right on the airplane today. And God didn't command me to. God didn't say, phileo that fella, because I couldn't. But God said, agape that fella, so I had to. And I could decide to. Well, this is good. God, 18 times we're supposed to agape God. 8 times we're supposed to agape our neighbor. And then in John 15 and 12 and John 15, 17, it says we're supposed to agape one another. Now you listen carefully. Every church split in America, listen to me. Every stinking church split. Every stinking church split in America is caused by a bunch of baby Christians whose love never gets deeper than phileo. I can't stand her, you carnal Christian. God commands you to love her and love him. I just don't like the way she dresses. I can't stand the way he sings. Now, all in the world that is phileo. And that's why churches across America are splitting all over this country. Listen, God, hear me now. God commands me to choose and will and turn the switch on real love for every single child of God in the world. Doesn't mean I have to like them, but it means I have to love them. Now, I want to tell you this. The folks that know me will tell you this is true. I can get along with anybody as long as they'll do what I say. I mean, I have no problem. I fly on the airplane, and I sit on the airplane beside new evangelicals that I would not have sit on this platform to lead in Mary Had a Little Lamb. But I can get along with them on the airplane. I'm in airports. Preachers walk up to me. They're evangelicals. They're new evangelicals. Not my kind of preacher at all. I wouldn't preach for them. Wouldn't have them preach for me. But I get along with them. You know why? Because my getting along with you does not depend on my phileo. It depends on my agape. I'm commanded 18 times to agape God. I'm commanded 8 times to agape my neighbor. I'm commanded twice, at least, to agape one another. Number 4. Ephesians 5:21. You fellows are commanded to agape your wives. Well, you say if you live with that hussy, you wouldn't love her. I might think she's a hussy if I live with her. And that means I not phileo her. But if I'm married to her, I'm supposed to agape her. I'm commanded. I just cannot love him anymore. That's a dirty, stinking lie. You can love him. God wouldn't command you to love your wife if you couldn't do it. Now, he doesn't command you to phileo her. 99% of all the divorces in the world are caused because we have not laid the foundation of agape. God does not mind you building on that foundation a superstructure of phileo at all. Nothing wrong with a woman fixing her hair so a fellow will phileo her. Nothing wrong with a woman fixing her face so a fellow will phileo her. Nothing wrong with a woman painting up a little bit so a fellow will phileo her. Nothing wrong with that at all. If, when that's gone, there's still agape. I have a little three words, three statements here you'll like. One, you're supposed to agape her even if she doesn't turn you on. Two, you're supposed to turn on. And three, or she may turn on you. I taught you a few months ago that God commands a man to agape his wife and commands a woman to phileo her husband. Why? Because a man, phileo comes natural for a man. It's not as easy for a man to agape as it is phileo. So God commands a woman to phileo her husband. It's easier for a woman to agape than to phileo sometimes. So God commands her to phileo her husband and man to agape his wife. Because agape will cause a woman to feel better than phileo some usually, and phileo will cause a man to feel better than agape usually, and phileo to agape to a woman will turn on phileo, and phileo to a man will turn on agape. I'm simply saying that no real relationship, I don't care what it is going to stand on like, pleasure, looks, odor, taste, personality. It's got to go back down there to that agape that you turn on. Okay, I said, phileo turns you on, agape you turn on. Phileo is not commanded because you can't turn it on. Agape is commanded because you can turn it on. There is no reservoir of phileo. There is a reservoir of agape. You have a supply of agape. You can dispense agape. Now, you can turn on agape. You are commanded where to dispense agape. You're to dispense agape to God. You're to dispense agape to your neighbor. You're to dispense agape to one another. You're to dispense agape to your wife. I don't want to go to the next one. But it says twice, at least, in the Bible. Matthew 5:44, Luke 6:27-35. It says, I'm supposed to agape my enemies. Oh, 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 oh. I don't like Robert L. Sumner. But I love him. You say, preacher, how could you love somebody that's trying to do to you what he's trying to do? I'm commanded to. I drive by the houses of my bitterest enemies regularly and pray for God to bless them. I make it a point at least once a week to drive by the house of somebody in this area who hates my insides and park outside their house or apartment and say, God bless those people. I love them. I don't like them, but I love them. You say, how can you? Because my love is not dependent upon responding to their stimulus. My love is dependent upon obeying the command of God. I'm talking tonight on graduate course here, but most of you are going to stay down to first grade and to kindergarten the rest of your life. And love her if she loves you. Love her if she's pretty. Love her if she's sweet. Love her if she's kind. Love her if she smells good. Real love, you turn it on if she smells bad. Now, my enemies don't arouse my phileo. But my agape is not aroused by their performance. I picked up a newspaper today. It comes to my desk. I was going through my mail. I didn't look at the outside of it. Just opened it up, and there was a picture of Robert L. Sumner in the newspaper. And immediately, I prayed for God to bless him and give him good health. He's up in years now. He's older than I am, and I prayed for God to give him good health. And I loved him. There's not one single thing I like about that man. Not one single thing. But I love him. You say, how could you? The very fact that you ask that question means you haven't got the foggiest idea what love is all about. Now, sit up straight and listen to me. It's time some of you folks grew up. I'm sick and tired of people been members of this church 20 years coming to me saying, I don't love him anymore. You've heard enough preaching where you know better. I mean, you didn't get saved last Sunday morning. You're no babe in Christ. You've been here for years. There is a command from God Almighty. Let's put it down. That fellow that cheated you in business, you're supposed to love him. That fellow that did you dirty and took something that belongs to you, you're supposed to love him. In fact, you're commanded to love him. Hey, that person owes you a debt. and hasn't paid it. He's owed that debt to you for 10 years. Hasn't even called you. Hasn't even contacted you. You say, well, I won't speak to him. Brother, they don't make the man I won't speak to. They don't make the person I won't speak to. They don't make him. I am not going to go through my life with hatred in my heart or an absence of love in my heart. And I am, hey, look at me. If I said, boy, the Bible says you're not supposed to drink liquor. Amen, amen, amen. The same Bible says love your enemies. Bible says avoid the appearance of evil. That means you shouldn't watch the dirty movies. And amen, amen, amen. The same Bible says love your enemies. I said that to a fellow one time. He said, just one, Jack Hiles. You're different from everybody else. I said, I don't have to be because God didn't write one Bible for me, another for you. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go out to eat with your enemies. That doesn't mean you're supposed to like their faults. It means that you are supposed to love them and wish them well. And brother, they don't make the man, and if you know me, you know this is true. They don't make the man, I won't take this shirt off and give it to him. They don't make him. Phileo is turned on. And any old hound dog can phileo. A dog will wag his tail if you give him hold a piece of meat up over it. Or if you just smile at him and whistle, he'll wag his tail. And that's exactly the kind of love most of you have. No more than old Shep has. No more. I mean, a cat will purr if you rub her jaw. And the simple truth is the average person in this room tonight has no more love than the average alley cat. It's time we grew up. I'm not asking you, nor is God asking you to like anybody. But God is commanding you to love Him, love your neighbor, love one another, love your wife, and love your enemies. Let's bow our heads.